quite there yet.
Yeah, now if only all of my Twitter notifications would properly route through Windows, I'd actually be happy for once.
Yeah, they work for me, so I can't, you know, I can't complain too much.
Mine must just be, I guess mine is just channeling crap.
Channeling Satan himself.
Oh, I was going to say Theresa May, but close enough.
Oh, jeez. Wow. My hat's off to you, Sable. My hat's off. That was a class act right there. That was. I love you.
Are you a Canadian Griffin?
No. I'm an American Griffin.
Okay.
I just pay attention to world politics.
I was just going to say, well, why aren't you just Maple Griffin then?
Hey, I know a Maple Griffin.
You want to know what the you want to know what the hilarious part about that shit is, Cor? I used to live in Maine. You want to know what I call that place?
Mini Canada?
Southern Canada, but close enough.
No, Southern Canada is the northern New York state.
Ugh, been there.
Southern Minnesota. Canada
and North Dakota. Because in North Dakota, you might as well be in Canada. I don't know.
I've always seen...
North Dakota's still a part of the Union?
Yeah,
there's actually people living there. I know, it's amazing.
Wow.
I've always seen Minnesota as like a landlocked Scandinavia.
You know, that's actually not a bad way of describing it. I've gone there many times, and it's pretty spot on.
I think that's a little closer to Wisconsin, though.
No, Wisconsin is
so close, though.
I deal with Wisconsinites all the time. I understand why you say that, Corbett. No, they're their own special breed of crazy. I think the cheese gets to them.
The cheese gets to me, man. I love cheese.
Yeah. I don't know. If I can ever figure out where the hell it is in Wisconsin, I'd probably end up making St. Olaf jokes. But A, that's dated. B, shows how fucking old I am and how little of a life I had when I was growing up. And C, shows, man, I watched old-ass TV when I was 10.
Old-ass TV's the best TV.
Yeah, but no one's going to fucking get the Golden Girls.
I don't know. I disagree. I know people who are well younger than me, and I'm 28 if anyone's listening.
Remember, like, on days that I would stay home from school sick or whatever, I would watch Golden Girls and The Price is Right. Before Drew Carey took over.
Ugh. Fuck that guy.
I don't know. I can't rag on Drew Carey too much. He's put his own spin on it, and it's still pretty entertaining.
No, that's not why I'm against him. I just miss Bob Barker.
Yeah, but I mean...
Well, the guy was 192 years old. He can't go on forever.
He needs to retire eventually. Everybody deserves to retire.
He was a badass that gave shit to people with a ping pong on a stick.
Right, what the hell was up with those? I mean, he still used that microphone. What the hell is up with it, and where can I get one?
I thought they changed that microphone out when Drew Carey came on board, because it's not as small as it used to be.
Yes, they did. But the only reason why they kept using it was Bob Barker insisted. He wanted a wired, old-fashioned microphone. Case closed, and he negotiated that into his contract. No joke.
That's why they kept using it. Or one like it.
And given the state of wireless audio when it was coming in for that show, I don't fucking blame him. Wireless audio was crap back then.
I bet you I could tweak my settings here to make me sound like I'm using that microphone. Oh, yeah. Yes. So now that we're past all the technical difficulties and talking about Bob Barker and fuck Drew Carey, should we actually do the show?
Well, that would be nice. I figured you were already recording.
Oh, right. Yes, I was. Don't worry.
This is just B-roll.
This is episode 35? Yeah, 35 of Bird Life. I'm Cor.
I'm Sable.
I'm drunk. We'll be right back.
I just realized I'm surrounded by griffins.
We've taken over the show.
Fuck it. What happened?
No amount of aggressive bird bathing will ever get rid of the griffin stench in the studio.
We may as well burn it after this episode.
Pretty much.
I don't know. The only reason why I showed up is I woke up this morning. I had a post-it note stuck to my forehead written backwards. Storm, why the fuck did you put that thing on my head backwards? I went into the bathroom and said, come here for pizza rolls and whiskey, 1645. Here I am. Where's the fucking pizza rolls?
Well, I'm very good at making sure our guests show up. Whether or not I get you to show up for actually valid reasons, well, that's not part of the contract. But at least you're here.
Two questions.
Got lied to.
One, how did he get into your house? Or, side question, do all griffins just actually kind of live together?
I'm still trying to figure that one out. Maybe Eclipse has an answer.
No, all griffins have the ability to just go to each other's nests because we're awesome like that. Plus, you know,
it's called home invasion.
No, it's called brotherly love. It's a difference. You know, we all use the same key to each other's nests. It just works out.
So,
wait, seriously? I'm going to have to change my fucking locks.
Good luck with that.
So,
wait,
Sable.
Did I write that into the union contract? Shit.
Yes.
And again, with the union contracts, I don't understand.
Yes. all griffins are unionized. You should know that we're all unionized.
Sable, question for you really quick.
I might have an answer.
Okay. Now, establishing the fact that you are a different Sable than the previous Sable we had on this show, you are Sable...
Yes.
Which Sable are you?
As referenced in my head or just out in public?
If people were to encounter the both of you Sables together, how would you differentiate yourself from the other Sable?
One's bigger than me.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, wow, that's very detailed. Okay, yeah.
Are you guys the same color? Describe your griffin.
Black and tawny with a big fluffy white mane. Wait, that's the other one. Shit. Myself?
Why, thank you.
Myself? Brown and white.
So
and
actually somewhat
tails.
Sable colored?
Actually, no, because Sable, if you go back to the old heraldry for color names, Sable is just another word for black. I've actually got a small little pennant up here with a griffin on it. It's an argent griffin on a sable field.
Huh.
And I absolutely love it. I picked that up with a Carolina Renaissance fair, and the guy selling it was in character. It was hilarious.
What was his character?
He was a shopkeep. What else would he be?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like... How do you portray shopkeep in anything more than...
No, he was the neighborhood chef, clearly.
Those are the jerk bags selling mutton that's actually just supposed to be turkey.
The only way that I know you would be in character as a shopkeep is to go, what are you buying? And what are you
exactly
selling?
That's exactly what the hell he did.
Oh, okay. Then no further questions, Your Honor.
And it's all great and in character until someone busts out the American Express to pay. Then it's like, well, we just had to alter character a little bit here, because I don't think in the Middle Ages they took that.
Well,
no, thankfully I had cash.
No, what you need to do is you need to walk around with a little satchel with, like, you know, coin in it. And then what he needs to do is, like, when you pan him the coin, you'll be like, here, I have much coin. He takes the coins, he holds it up at his ear and goes, shh, shh, shh. Yes, this is much coin, thank you. And then you trade.
I'm not walking around with $50 worth of Sacagawea dollars in my pouch.
I'd do it.
That would be heavy as fuck.
Are you kidding? I'd walk around with $50 worth of pennies.
Oh, God.
You're an asshole.
You'd beat someone with that bag.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I'd go to buy something for $50, and I'd take this giant bag hanging off my hip and set it down and said, I'll take one of everything.
Honestly, that just reminds me of the old quote of the dick of 1,000 Lincolns.
What?
Well, Core's not old enough to remember that one. Either that or he wasn't paying attention in 2006.
I was born past 2006. Thank you very much.
Wow, I didn't realize we had such a young hatchling helping run the show.
I'm done.
Core needs an adult.
Yes, yes. This
91 here, guys. Come on.
God damn it, I'm older than you.
I'm
older than Core, but I don't have to try that hard.
I don't remember the 80s because I wasn't born in the 80s, but I have a distinct passionate love for the 80s because they were a time that was better than I was born in.
Can you feel the love tonight?
What?
That's because 90s music sucked.
Everything in the 90s sucked, man.
No. 80s was kind of more weird. 80s music was a lot more weird than the 90s. There's some stuff in the 90s that
80s was the birth of, was like the real birth of rock and like metal and all of this like awesome music.
I could see that, actually. I can see that.
Yeah, but early 80s, late 70s. I mean, you had Ozzy Osbourne doing his thing. Surprisingly, he's still doing his thing.
Somehow.
It's amazing that all them drugs haven't knocked him on his ass yet, somehow.
Okay, no, for real, there is a research study going on. They've taken, like, his cells. He's donated some of his cells to these people because they wanted to research and figure out why exactly he hasn't died yet from all of these drugs.
And I think I might know how he survived.
Apparently he just has just enough like gene mutation that occurred in him naturally that somehow he's still chugging along.
Wait, that happened naturally? I thought he mutated when he pissed on the Alamo.
Yes, he got some magical power.
It's like when he bit the head off that bat. Oh, bad times.
I think if anything was to change who Ozzy Osbourne's, his physiological traits, it would be the moment he bit the head off the bat.
Oh, there's also the one, wait, I'm not sure if the Dove incident actually happened or if that was just a prank on his behalf.
Let's have a moment of silence for bats everywhere.
Did all bats suddenly go extinct and nobody told me?
No,
that would suck.
Ripping the head off a bat's kind of sad. Let's be honest here.
It is.
But then again, Ozzy Osbourne is kind of insane, so can't really say I'm surprised.
Oh, what do you expect when someone throws a stoned bat up on stage?
Poor bat.
I know. I feel sorry for the little guy.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the bat was a big rock fan and went out and, you know, following his dreams.
I mean, if you were a bat, that would have to be the only acceptable way you could die.
Going out by getting bitten by Ozzy Osbourne.
It's true. You go out with a legacy, that's for sure.
The only other way I can think of is dive bombing on Meatloaf while he sings anything off the Bat Out of Hell album.
So, Sable, tell me a little bit more about you, because we're still getting to know you here. What are your passions? What are your hobbies? What do you do? What is fun for you?
What do? I hug boxes at work and then complain to my coworkers about how shitty the customers are.
Hey, I do the same thing if you replace boxes with people's bodies.
Core, you made that sound so creepy.
I don't think I could have done worse.
Well, you never know. In a couple of years, he might just decide, I feel like being a mortician.
Yeah, I could see it.
You know what? Honestly, it wouldn't be a bad gig. It'd be really quiet all the time, and you'd get paid really well for it because nobody else wants to be a mortician.
Yeah. Yeah, and if somebody woke up every once in a while, you just, you know, thunk them on the head and go back to work.
All of a sudden, I'm thinking Monty Python jokes now. I'm not dead.
Okay, so there is this YouTuber, and her channel is called Ask a Mortician, and she's like She's a mortician, obviously, but she's also a comedian. She tells a lot of stories about, like, some of the stuff that comes across her table. I would recommend checking her out if that's kind of, like, up your alley. Really good dark humor kind of stuff.
I'm gonna have to now.
Ask a mortician.
I'm definitely gonna have to check that out myself, because I like a wide variety of humor, especially the more crude, silly crap.
This just... I've been into dark humor for the last 17 years, probably thanks to the Army for a lot of it.
Yeah,
you were in the Army for a period of time?
Make that change.
Were you in the Army yourself for a period of time, or how was that?
For as shitty as it is, I was in for 4 months, about, I want to say... 8 hours south of where I am right now at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
I gave it my best effort, but they figured out that $20,000 in 4 months, too damn late, my recruiter's a lying sack of shit.
Oh, ouch. What happened? If I can ask, this is private, I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, it's not private. If I'm talking about it, feel free to ask.
Well, I mean details, but yeah.
No, my recruiter lied on the physical fitness component of my application, and he claimed that, yeah, I could pass the standard PT test for the period. Ended up finding out, no, I actually cannot run 2 miles in 1636.
That's okay. Kind of a serious oversight.
I've heard from other people in the Army, no joke, that recruiters... unfortunately,
they gotta meet their quota.
Often. They fluff up things. They lie about small details, and unfortunately, it's a very common problem.
That's why I loathe the quota system with a passion.
It really just sets people up to cheat. People are inherently dishonest. It's sad.
Yeah, though I will say, even though my ass got Chapter 11 out of the service, it was a good 4 months, except for that first week. The first week of red phase is absolute friggin' torture.
Yep. I've heard that. I have another good friend of mine that just finished his basic training, and literally word for word, he said the same thing about red training. It's just, it's hell from beginning to end.
Oh, then he didn't tell you about the special wood grain phase that the Army has for all of the real dum-dums.
Uh-oh.
Our third platoon decided to, one of the people in third decided, I'm going to keep my phone on my person instead of having a personal lockup like you're supposed to have. You're not supposed to have any unsanctioned contact during BCT, period. Mm-hmm. We were out in the middle of blue phase. We're about 4 or 5 weeks in. We're on the mount course, and he busts out his phone. Drill sergeant catches him.
How stupid can you be?
Well, he's a private, so I had emphasized that with very fucking.
Yeah.
Trust me, you stay in the Army a while, you realize very fucking is a conjoined verb.
Tuh.
Yeah, it's all one word. Very fucking. You don't need a space. So drill sergeant grabs the phone, says, whoever this is, the private will call you back in 6 weeks from a new phone. Closes the phone, chucks it in the middle of the Georgia woods. Private ain't getting that motherfucker back.
Ouch. I would have totally understood had he crushed it with his boot.
Yeah.
I think the drill sergeant was just trying to goad the private into chasing after his phone.
Fair enough. Didn't work,
thankfully. That probably would have been worse.
Well, when you're a drill sergeant, like, that's your goal. Like, the best drill sergeants are the ones who really know how to, like, mind fuck with people.
Oh, trust me. He got him good, because he goes over to the company colors, pulls their flag out of the box, takes off the cap stand, pulls their blue flag off, puts the cap stand back on, tucks the flag into one of his BDU blouse pockets, then proceeds to chuck the standard into the woods too. Yells at the private, "Go find that dickweed," and just goes on his way.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the things I've also heard a lot about the military is you really come to appreciate food because the usual army meals is very blah. And I know from talking to you personally, Sable, because as audience may or may not know, Sable and I are actually friends outside of the show. And one of the things that you really seem to enjoy cooking is chili.
Oh.
And maybe you should be a firefighter. Too.
Unfortunately, I'm too out of shape to pass the requirements for a firefighter these days. I would really have to kick some ass and lose about 100 pounds to get back into something like that.
Gotcha.
So
I'm not saying it's an impossibility. I'm just saying what I would have to do.
No, I understand. I'm sorry. I was just kind of making a bit of a connection there with the past military service. And so you're already familiar with that kind of environment. Firefighter is very similar to that, except a little bit lighter. Plus, you like making chili.
I like making hot chili. I just can't make it too hot because I share with my roommates.
What is the highest level of Scoville you've ever reached?
Personally, about 250K.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So that's about the level of Blair's After Death sauce. That's pretty good.
Yeah, Blair's After Death, it's not quite Mad Dog. I'm slowly working towards Mad Dog. If I felt like torturing myself, I'd actually work out a way to get into a over to nearby Fort Mill and get something from Ed.
I had a buddy about a year ago hook me up with some of Blair's 1 million reserve.
Ooh.
And we decided to take just a drop of that and bake it. Well, not bake it, but put it in maple batter and make donuts. And we put that on top of the donut. And it was delightful and horrifying at the same time. It was like a wonderful experience of pure agony.
Yeah, because you're about 200K under a Butch T. That shit hurts.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of diluted at that point, so I would say it was probably still in like the 700,000 Scoville range, but that was pretty intense. You can also get jerky that's been infused with that same 1 million reserve.
Yeah, or if you really want to have some fun, I mentioned it before, Ed Curry. All of the chili heads automatically know that name. He's the guy responsible for the Carolina Reaper, and he actually grows where I live, not next door, just in the same town. And the fun part is his crap, he sells Reaper extract, and that's about 1.5 million average, 2 million peak.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
My sister, she's growing some Carolina Reapers. That's her Christmas gift to me this year is when they get grown. I'm hyped.
I feel sorry for your asshole.
Oh, it's been through some things, man.
Well, you know, we're talking about, you know, pure fiery asshole greatness here. But what can you give us an example of maybe like your favorite chili to make and what you put in it? Because I've noticed there's a lot of variety in what people actually put in their chili. So what do you like putting in your chili the most for your favorite chili?
Short of lighting things on fire, I've been messing around with one. The sauce base, I don't use anything pre-pack. I can't stand that crap. But what I'll do is crushed tomato, some tomato paste or sauce. I've been messing around with a spice component for about a year and a half, but the other stuff is like green peppers, pureed jalapenos, which everyone's like, oh no, you added jalapenos. You're looking at about 8 ounces of jalapeno puree against 6 quarts of chili, Brano. It ain't gonna hurt.
No, it adds just a nice little essence. That's really all it does.
Which is all I was looking for when I did that. Then it's about 3 to 6 shots of Cholula just to balance everything. Then the fun part begins where, and I know people are going to be like, wait a minute, you put that in there? Corn, carrots, diced onions, and I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head because I've got everything on Google Keep. Just a minute.
This is actually quite fascinating because, I mean, really, it varies wildly.
Oh, I figured out when I was messing with this that chili is almost sort of a kitchen sink kind of food.
Okay.
You can just short of throwing the literal kitchen sink in there and get something interesting out of it. Whether or not it's palatable or edible, I'm not going to make any determinations. But it's also a very personal thing. Someone might like various things in their chili, and other people are going to absolutely freaking hate it.
Have you ever participated in any chili cook-off competitions?
I want to, but every time they decide to do one, I'm always between checks, so I can't pick up anything to do it.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. No, just aim for like state fair or county fair kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. You could.
If I was back up in Maine, I'd do it in a heartbeat because they have the Farmington Fair. It's just I haven't been able to find one down here in South Carolina that I could actually get to.
Gotcha. Well, Carolina itself is quite famous for having really good chili cook-offs.
It's also amazing for barbecue. Oh,
yes.
Whole hog.
Oh, God, yes.
The one thing I'm learning today is Griffin's put a lot of focus on food.
Oh, God, yes.
This is turning into a research experiment on Raven's part.
But we talked on barbecue for a second, and I got to be honest with you, because, you know, you're from South Carolina.
Not native. I'm a transplant.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You live there long enough. You live there long enough, you start to absorb part of the culture. I absolutely love my favorite barbecue when I try to make it is always the rub barbecue. I always like the dry rub seasoning because the sauces are okay. Don't get me wrong. They can be good at times, but it's right. All about the dry rub. If you rub it in just light, we let it marinate
overnight.
It's top shelf. It really is. What is, okay, you got that recipe, so go ahead and share it when you're ready.
Yeah, I just had to put it back in the damn notes. Somehow it got shoved into trash.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that real quick, Cora, what's your opinion on barbecue?
Love it. Not much else. I haven't actually done a whole lot of barbecuing myself in my life, sadly. I've never really had a very good grill.
So do you like sauce or dry rub?
I prefer sauces, generally. Garlic parmesan or...
Oh, God, garlic parmesan. Ooh.
It's my one true kryptonite.
I don't know. Being down here, I'm actually kind of remiss that I haven't tried it sooner. North Carolina vinegar-style barbecue sauce. As as lame as it is, I picked up a couple... I guess Kraft has decided we're going to get with some pit masters and try out different barbecue sauces. And they grabbed this vinegar style barbecue sauce from a North Carolina pit master. And I fell in love.
Nice.
Cause I've never been a big fan of the overly sweet sort of barbecue sauces.
Right. No, I'm a sugar griff.
Well, you are a sweet.
Yeah, my heart put some. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love you so much.
Yes, you also kind of walked into that one.
Kind of. As Core sits there and basks and like, oh, God, not again. But, yeah.
I love Core, too.
But, you know, so it sounds like you really enjoy the kitchen. You like making awesome things, especially chili, and sounds like possibly even experimenting with some barbecue. What are some other hobbies you enjoy doing when you're not at work making love to boxes?
Core's probably going to give me crap. Storm's probably going to roll his eyes because he's mentioned it a couple times before. Okay. Vaping. I got really big into the rebuilding aspect for electronic cigarettes.
Oh, so you do total manual, not just electronic.
Oh, I haven't gotten into mechanical devices yet. I have the experience. I just don't want to have potential accidents.
Right, understandable. I mean, like, you get too much going there, the whole battery itself will blow up.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those dum-dums that thought, hey, I have a 20-amp battery, let's build down to 0.1. And then forget, wait, does the button on this tube sticks for some reason? Crap.
And I'm assuming you're referring to vaping.
I am.
Okay, because some of our audience may not know that. What is your favorite thing to vape, some of your favorite e-liquids, and what are some of your favorite actual vape mods to use?
Favorite juice I literally can't do because there's so much good stuff. Corey Spots from Mount Baker actually hooked me up with some stuff last year from the their Guar line, which, A, I'm a huge fan of Guar anyway. B, I didn't realize that Beefcake the Mighty worked with him on any of this stuff. So that was actually kind of cool.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff that I've been getting recently is through Nuclear Vapes up in New Jersey. Their house line is pretty decent. There's a couple bottles from BX Vapor up in Concord, North Carolina that I've really fallen for. Their Swedish fish flavor, I can't get enough of it.
Back when I did partake a little while back. I enjoyed the Swedish fish flavor as well. They also had a pink Starburst one that I was pretty big into.
Last time I checked, I think Tyler does do a Starburst flavor as well. I can't remember which one off the top of my head, though.
My favorite is Vape Wild as my supplier, and there's tons and tons and tons of flavors there that are really good, but the one I tend to go to the most is their Skittles flavor. I don't know. It's just, I like inhaling Skittles for some reason, and they're spot on with most of their e-liquid. They really are. When they say something tastes like a cinnamon roll, by golly, it tastes like you're fucking smoking a cinnamon roll. It's top shelf.
August 8th, the FDA put in new deeming regulations that people have been fighting against because they're not all that fair. It pretty much takes off the market every single device and juice that you've got right now.
Sounds so, like, I don't know what the point is of these damn regulations from the government because, you know, on the one hand, they're trying to say, oh, we don't want e-liquid being marketed to kids. Okay. What's better, e-liquid or cigarettes? Because that, when I was in school, before the whole vaping thing took off, especially in high school, kids were still smoking. And e-liquid's a lot better to use than smoking nicotine and all the 1,000 other carcinogens that are in a typical cigarette.
Well, the way I see it is we don't really need... We need some form of regulation to make sure that this stuff is safe. We don't need regulation that cripples the industry. And for everyone saying that e-liquid manufacturers market to kids, I call bullshit on it because no sane manufacturer is going to actively market to kids. You've got a couple companies that are doing really dumb things with their packaging, but the community as a whole calls them out on it, and we don't buy that shit.
But here's the thing, and I'm just going to put this out there, and it's not against, you know, vaping or anything in general, but from personal observation, I know quite a few 14 to 16 year olds who have vape devices. They have the pens, they have the mods, they have whatever they can get their hands on, because you can order online and you can lie about your age online and they'll get a hold of it one way or another.
They've been trying to shore that up. I know a lot of people on ECR have been bitching about age verification firms like Blue Check.
How is that any different from someone going online and ordering cigarettes? Because if you know where to go, you can do that too. And the age verification's a fucking joke.
Yeah, it is a fucking joke.
I don't know anywhere you can buy cigarettes online, but then again, I've never tried myself. Sex toys, on another hand, though.
That's why we've
all been 13, 14 years old. But the internet now makes it infinitely easier for 13, 14-year-olds to get a hold of them. I think that's necessarily a problem because they're going to be doing it anyways, but...
Yeah. I bought my first sex toy from Zeta Creations when I was right around that age, 13, 14. And literally, and this is, you must and this be 18 is, years, yes or no? Are you over 18? Well, of course I am, yes.
And this is why Storm is a griffin.
Yes, of course, because, you know, when I saw that griffin cock on that website, it was just like, I got to have me a piece of that. I mean,
And now you know the rest of the story.
Exactly. And knowing is half the battle.
Precisely. Well, and people are still buying in Indiana, that's the case. And people still, on the remaining shops, are going and buying it. And I've known many parents that literally will go in and buy the vape device and hand it to their kids right in the front of the store. So it doesn't work.
It really doesn't. There's no point to it. It's just it. And here's the thing. For the sake of, you know, people who smoke or, you know, they're trying to get off smoking, that's where the devices have their real potential. But that's not who is buying these devices. These are people who have no experience smoking previously to this, going out and buying them because they look cool. They're essentially, they're basically just fidget spinners that are really expensive, and it becomes a really expensive hobby to just vape.
It does.
And for those who don't have any sort of, you know, prior smoking experience, you may start out and you may work your way up nicotine level, and hey, suddenly you have a nicotine addiction. Now, there's a whole nother thing with that, because being addicted to nicotine just separately on its own is not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't really do anything. It's just addictive. But at the same time, you're just throwing money that you otherwise don't need to throw away.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, you put it very well. You really do. You guys ready for some questions?
Let's do it.
I've actually kept Telegram minimized for this. I have no idea what's going on.
Now, first question for all of you. What are you drinking today?
Dr. Perky and rum.
Yeah,
I already told Storm that I got bargain basement shitty-ass generic Dr. Pepper. And Food Lion calls theirs Dr. Perky.
That's terrible.
Yes.
The worst.
Not only did my fellow Griffin get Dr. Perky, but he bought it at Food Lion in honor of all of our listeners. So our hats must be tipped to him.
Okay.
Well, at least I didn't go to Big Lots and get myself a bottle of Dr. Bob. Because I don't think that I could do what its slogan on the can says. Open up and say ah.
I always appreciate Kroger's Marketplace, because they have Dr. K, and that just kind of seems like it would go hand in hand with Special K. Don't do that.
That would be a hell of a night.
A little bit of Dr. K, and drop a Special K.
Just
what about you?
just grab the generic Dr. Pepper and ketamine. Let's have some fun.
What are you drinking, Cor?
I have been sipping on a Baskin-Robbins mint mint and cookie dough shake.
You dirty, dirty bastard.
It's delicious.
That sounds amazing.
I hate you. I have been trying for my very first time a Mike's Hard Watermelon Lemonade. And I must say, it literally tastes like a watermelon. I'm impressed.
I've not had their watermelon variety.
It literally tastes spot on like I am drinking a watermelon. So I got to hand it to them.
Is it as annoyingly malty as their stuff usually is?
No, this is going down very smooth. So
I might have to give that a chance then.
It might be worth a shot.
Yeah, because I mean, it's painfully obvious I'm not much of a beer guy, but I've gotten into Best Damn's Not Your Father's Root. Oh, wonderful.
there's two different brands you just threw out there.
Backwards. I need to wear the dunce hat now.
We'll get you a helmet, buddy. Don't worry. I think all Griffins need helmets at one point or another.
Actually, I've got one hanging on a peg. I just don't have any mail.
Oh. As we discussed before the show started, birds crash into windows. Griffins fly through windows. Unless they're like bulletproof windows. Then it's just pain for everybody.
Unless you're Nerf, but that guy is tiny.
Poor Nerf. So, first question comes from Gadget Lumic. The question is, who will dominate the skies, Griffins or Dergs?
Is there really even a, like, we all know the answer to that.
Yeah, it's going to be Griffins.
I'm a little upset that he doesn't just, you know, encompass avians into the whole general thing, because, you know, avians may not be as big as Griffins, but we have a lot of influence and power.
Well, you know, Griffins are part of the Verdanian Empire, so I'd say Team Avian would dominate.
I'm a little upset at you, Gadget. Come on, step up.
No, he's probably thinking us Griffins will be on the front lines protecting all of the general birds.
He probably just had a short circuit somewhere. It's okay.
I'll get my screwdriver. We'll get on it. We'll get Gadget updated for next episode. Question number two comes from Eclipse. Question is why did we change the tag to questions instead of ask birds?
That was my bad. It's because I don't usually set it up, and I went with questions instead of ask birds because I'm an idiot. I'm sorry.
And
at least someone said it.
Ouch. Damn. Hey, it's
walked
good.
Into it.
It's good to mix it up once in a while. It really is. And it got your attention, so thanks for tuning in. Next question comes from Kiros. Question is, what is your favorite bird pun?
Why? This is the anti-core episode, isn't it?
I can't even think of any puns right now. What the fuck?
Well, no, it's because we've been put on the spot.
That's always how it goes. Yeah, aside, I really don't have anything right now because I'm drawing a blank. Then again, you know, I'm sorry, dude. Go bird.
Yeah, error 404, pun not found.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I wish I could help you out. Maybe next episode.
But when you're something put on like the spot, that. You just can't come up with anything, and then it gets really awkward.
You bastard.
Fuck you. Next question comes from Eclipse again, and the question is, say something positive about the species of the other two hosts. I'll start with you, Sable.
I have to think of something good to say about ravens, don't I?
Yes.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm not sitting on the edge of my seat or anything.
No.
My self-esteem doesn't matter right now.
No, it's that stupid on-the-spot thing. I actually don't have anything wrong with ravens.
You could say something about our charisma, our intelligence, our beauty, our majesty.
I don't know. Okay. I thought I would just make Edgar Allan Poe jokes and say Nevermore.
What about, okay, what about me?
Oh, come on. Griffins are too easy, and I still can't think of anything.
Wow.
You can't think of anything nice to say about griffins.
Seriously, right now, it's like, mind state, tabula rasa, crap.
Well, for me, for ravens, I would say core. My nice thing for you is ravens' bird poop doesn't smell quite as bad as other birds. So that is a compliment. It's a
weird thing that you just know that off the top of your head. I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah, what the hell? Are you just running around sniffing bird shit?
And in relation to Sable, I will say griffins are very effective at just looking pretty while doing nothing.
I thought we were just cuddle magnets.
Pretty much.
Okay, your turn, well, Cor. It looks like I get to compliment two griffins here, so...
don't worry, I won't preen too hard.
Storm? You have feathers. And that's nice.
Wow, you're really grasping at straws there, aren't you?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I've got compliments aplenty. Sable, you have a beak.
Wow. Wow. Just wow. Next question comes from Kranos. Question is, how do we tame fleeks?
That is a question I have been trying to find the answer to since I met him.
The answer is one does not tame Fleeks, for Fleeks is German.
Well, Krios Hosbird, he does recommend hypnosis. I'd be willing to give that a try.
I don't know. Krios, I was just going to put out a big termite-filled stump for him.
Ooh, ooh, it's ooh. Like, hey, and then what you Fleeks, do is, so there's this Fleeks, termite stump, but at the bottom of the termite stump, there's like a glue trap or something. So he sticks his beak in there, it gets stuck, and then he can't go anywhere.
Ooh. I like it.
Okay, Grover, he must never hear this episode.
Because that's Krios is my little bro. I like your thinking. Yeah. All right. The challenge birds today is how do you enter your bird species into a search engine and read the results. Okay, I'm going to do that right now.
Well, the two of you are going to come up with the same thing.
You know, I'm going to use exactly. Bing. I'm going to use Bing, just because.
Oh, okay. So you're going to get a lot of porn of griffins now.
Yes. How do griffin? Okay, I've got how do glyphs work. How do glaphs help? How do glaphs work in Legion?
Glaphs? Did how you do type griffins?
Work? I typed griffins, and I'm getting this.
I think you typed them, buddy.
Where do griffins go to college?
That how I need to Phoenix... know the answer to. Okay? Answer that one, please.
Okay. No, all right. Going it right now. Okay, okay, okay.
The stupid part is Reg Day's challenge just brings up shit about me.
Apparently, the top five colleges griffins go to are Butler University, the College of Worcester, Columbia University, Dartmouth College, and DePaul University.
Wait, did you say Unicursity for that last one? Are we training wizard griffin warlock crap here?
That's fuck a possibility. Yes.
Why didn't I get into that shit?
All right, what about you, Cor?
So I went to Ask Jeeves, or just ask.com now, because apparently we're doing weird search engines as well.
Wait, we have to do weird search engines?
Sure, yes. Let's do that. And apparently right, Ask Jeeves is still doing pretty well as far as search engines go, because they're pretty relevant. I mean, I got things from the Baltimore Ravens, I got things from Ravens as the Species, I got things about That So Raven. But... nothing specifically awkward or weird.
Okay.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me one fucking bit what I'm seeing here.
RavenTools.com. Create amazing marketing reports that also make you look amazing. Ooh, this is relevant to my interests.
Ooh.
No, the reason why these results don't surprise me one friggin' bit is Sable as a character is half Griffin, half Kitsune. So I dropped Kitsu Griff into dog pile. What comes up? A bunch of shit about me.
Holy shit!
Dude, he took it 90s, man.
God damn, I haven't heard a dog pile in like forever.
Well, you guys said weird search engines.
You did it, dude.
I win.
Damn, brother.
I win the let's use the weirdest search engine we could find game.
I will get you a trophy for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I the only one that when I think of dogpile, I think of...
Oh, trust me, you're not the only one.
Fair enough.
Mostly because some of the people in this apartment complex do not clean up after said pile.
You.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Well, it doesn't matter what search engine I use because I just went to DuckDuckGo, and again, same results. I either get the Wikipedia or I get stuff about the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, we all know the primary thing about Ravens is sports.
It's true. So, I'm such a football fan, you have no idea.
I don't know. I thought the main thing about Ravens was standing upon a bust of Pallas above my chamber door.
And again, with the Poe. Boy, sorry. Nevermore. You happy now?
Very.
So, are you guys ready for the grand finale?
Let's do it.
All right. This question comes from Red Day. Would you rather have a giant crest and tiny beak, or a tiny crest and giant beak?
So, would I rather be a cockatiel or a raven?
Pretty much.
Or, no, sorry, toucan. Ooh, that actually makes it complicated. Would I rather be a cockatiel
and
have a big fan-out, like, amazing crest that just is, like, stylable hair whenever you want? Or...
And looks amazing.
I could literally be the beakiest.
I don't know, I think I'm going with... being the beakiest is kind of tempting.
You know what? I think that's the direction I'm going to go. I want to be the beakiest bird. I would be a toucan.
The crest is beautiful, but it's all about the beak in many ways. I'm going to go with the big beak.
So will I, but for practical reasons. I want to take an entire slice of Chicago deep dish and stuff it in my face.
Oh, jeez.
That, and if you watch toucans eat like little bananas and fruit, like berry things, it's adorable. I can watch YouTube videos of toucans eating all day.
Oh, God. Well, this pretty much wraps up what I think has been a fantastic episode.
I think this is about the end, yeah. Hey, Sable, thanks again so much for joining us.
You're welcome, guys. It was fun.
Any final messages from you to our audience? Sable?
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping. There's nothing here this week. Nobody made any mistakes. It was a perfect episode. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Good night.